Greetings, everyone. This is Terry Naturally with another edition of Terry Talks Nutrition. We're here every weekend, same time, same station. You can't lose us. If you're with us right now, just come on back where we are. But if you have friends or relatives that can't find us, just share with them, with where you are today. You can find us here every weekend with Terry Talks Nutrition, Radio Broadcasting, and TerryTalksNutrition.com, our website. Our website can help you in between the talks. There's a lot of information on the website. You can subscribe to my newsletter. I have a newsletter that goes out every Friday, giving you more information. And also, you can read all the newsletters that are archived on the e-newsletter website section. And you can also listen to the radio shows that are archived on the radio show section of the website. So you can read and listen and explore on the website as much as you possibly can. There's a lot of information there. You'll never run dry. And I hope that you are taking seriously some of the things that we're talking about, that you can change your health. It's so simple. Your diet today, and if you are ill, or if you have any one disease, high blood pressure, obesity, cardiovascular disease, all of these conditions that are being treated by drugs are caused by your diet. What you eat is causing the illnesses and diseases that you have. They're really not diseases. The drug companies like to call them diseases so they can be the only ones to treat diseases, and so they have a monopoly on treating your conditions, but actually they are only metabolic disorders. So if you have any kind of cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, obesity, all these conditions are based on what you are eating. So you have to change your diet. If you're eating lots of carbohydrates, bread, potatoes, rice, grains, all these types of products that are made out of white flour, sugar, seed oil, are causing all your diseases and all of your inflammation. So I'm sure you might be paying a price to pay for drugs that are anti-inflammatory, or even natural products that are anti-inflammatory. But if you really want to reduce inflammation and to regain your health and reduce these metabolic disorders, you have to change your diet, because your current diet is causing these conditions. You can't just lower the calories or lower the portions. You're still eating the same food that is causing diseases or metabolic disorders. The best and most healthiest diet is a low-carb diet, high-fat diet. Yes, fat. You need fat for energy. You need fat for fuel. You need fat to feed your brain, your cells, your energy. That is the most efficient fuel you can burn, is fat. You put the right gas in your car, you got to put the right fuel in your body. It's not sugar that's going to make you have energy. That's only a momentary spike of energy. And it comes crashing down by the amount of insulin that is released from the pancreas to bring that blood sugar level down. But over time, could be 10, 20 years, maybe 30 years, of constantly eating sugar and carbohydrates, driving your blood sugar level up, correspondingly driving your insulin up. So now you have high blood sugar level, high insulin levels, and that is the key to the lock to unlock all these metabolic disorders. So change to a low-carb diet, high-fat diet. Yes, fat. Fat's good for you. Fat's not harmful. Fat's not going to make you sick. Fat's not going to give you a heart attack. Fat's not going to give you a stroke. We need fat. It's an efficient fuel for our body. But you can't mix them. You can't mix carbohydrates and fats in the same diet. You got to get rid of the carbohydrates. Drive them down lower. If you're really, really, really sick, you may have cancer. Your carbohydrates should be about 20 grams a day. Average in America, it's 150 grams per day. And I know many Americans, because of their diet and their conditions, they're probably eating 300 to 400 grams of carbohydrates daily. And if you want to really be healthy, if you're really, really sick, make your carbohydrates drop down to at least 20 grams per day. That's not much, but you need that break to get your health back where it should be. And maybe you can get it back up to 40 or 50 once you have arrived at a very healthy state. But it should be at least 50 to 20. And then fats and good quality proteins. No sugar. Lower your carbs. You don't need them. There are essential amino acids from protein. There are essential fatty acids from fats. There are no essential carbohydrates. We don't need any carbohydrates. That's what's causing all of our illnesses in America. We're going to be bankrupt by our health because we are eating the wrong diet since 1977, when they scared us about fats, and then they reversed it to carbohydrates. In the 1960s, people were very, very healthy. They ate fats. They had steaks. They had butter. They had cream. They ate all the good things. Today, we are afraid of fats. But they're healthy, as long as we're healthy. Fats. No seed oils. No margarine. Turn that all the way around. Butter, cream, lard, bacon grease. All the good fats. That's how we can regain our health. And today, we're going to talk about a variety of topics. How to build your brain. We'll talk about that momentarily. And what about ultra-processed foods? What do they cause? And strength training keeps your muscles younger, healthier and younger. And what is the number one drug in America? And the effect of sugar on anxiety levels. The most common nutrient deficiency. And here's a reminder. I'll keep reminding you because I think you're spending money where you don't need to. Save your money or spend it on the best quality supplements you can afford. And what about help for your aching, painful joints? Well, we have lots more, but we'll probably get halfway through and we'll run out of time. So we have lots of things to do for you today. And I hope that you do something every day to make yourself healthier. How to build your brain. What do you need to build your brain? Everyone needs omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3 fatty acids are the building blocks of cells, especially the brain. 60% of the brain is fat. and 90% of omega-3 content of the brain is DHA omega-3. So if you have a very low level of DHA, you may have difficulty with depression, ADHD, learning disabilities, increased risk of dementia, Alzheimer's disease. DHA and the intake of that component of DHA from omega-3 fatty acids is critical, extremely critical, during pregnancy and for the infant that will soon be born. So supplementation for the mother and for the infant with EPA and DHA, omega-3 during pregnancy and infancy, improves motor skills and raises mental development scores in children, even after, several years after. That's the way to start them on the development of their brain. Omega-3s for lifelong brain health. That's the way you have to look at it. We're not doing something just short term. What we need to do is work on long-term remedies for lifelong brain health and physical health. A new study looks at the effects of omega-3 intake and the markers of brain aging in middle-aged people. Here's a clinical trial, which included over 2,000 people. The average age of these 2,000 people was 46. Researchers measured the concentration of EPA and the DHA in their red blood cells, took MRI scans of their brains, and gave them tests of mental function, like memory, processing, speed, and reasoning. The result of this test, clinical study, the participants in the study with little or no evidence of omega-3 fatty acid had the worst mental function. Even a small amount of EPA and DHA improved mental function, with the people with the highest levels having the best results for reasoning, cognitive thinking ability. This is your brain. You want your brain to be as healthy as possible for your lifetime. We're talking about reducing dementia, Alzheimer's disease, cognitive function improvement, skills improvement, learning skills. These are all valuable. Now, better than fish oil, yes, there's fish oil, stinky fish oil, burping up fish oil. There's better than fish oil for omega-3 fatty acids from salmon. It's a phospholipid blend of omega-3 from salmon. All fish oil is triglyceride-based, but you're looking for a phospholipid-based omega-3 from salmon, especially from the head of the salmon. Not the body. In fact, the body of the fish is where all the toxins are concentrated. All the heavy metals are concentrated in the body or the fillet of the fish. They're concentrated there. But in the head of the salmon, very clean, pure and safe for everyone, even including pregnant women and children and even infants. omega-3 bound to phospholipids, not fish oil triglycerides. You know, we don't want a high triglyceride. It's the worst fat for our health. Now, we want a 2-to-1 ratio. We want more DHA than EPA, because DHA is especially important for developing babies. Mom, think about this. This is one of the most important critical nutrients during pregnancy. Efficient transport, well absorbed, allows for a much, much smaller dosage because it's 10 times better absorbed. 10 times. Phospholipids in their own right are very healthy for the body, especially for the brain. There's 5 phospholipids in the head of the salmon. The same phospholipids, the same ratio of the phospholipids that are found in the human brain. You're just replacing those as we use up or we do not have enough foods that supplies the EPA and the DHA. Unless you're eating a lot of fish, you're not going to be able to get enough EPA and DHA. With also a source of peptides, which have health benefits in their own right. They play a huge role in reducing anxiety, heart disease, inflammation, and much, much more. There's minimal processing, no heat, pressing, or chemical solvents. And it's a solid form, not an oil. So no problems with rancidity. Fish oil can go rancid. And you may not even know it because fish oil in itself doesn't taste very good. So you may not even know that it's rancid. And no need to swallow spoonfuls of this oil. Just take 1 or 2 daily servings of salmon, EPA, and DHA from the head of the salmon. That's where the natural phospholipids occur in the entire body of the fish. This makes us, especially a mental health, especially makes our mental health much more beneficial because we are replacing some of the phospholipids, EPA and DHA, that we may have lost or not even getting in a daily basis. Ultra-processed foods, what's bad about them? Well, they cause polyps. What are polyps? Well, 75% of colorectal cancer starts as a polyp. A polyp is a growth in the intestines. Begins as a harmless clump of cells on the intestinal wall. Over time, some polyps will become cancerous. And there's a strong link between harmful bacteria in the intestines, dysbiosis, and the formation of cancerous polyps. A recent new study shows that women who eat a lot of ultra-processed foods have a 45% increased risk of developing cancerous polyps, which can eventually turn into cancer. But they start as polyps. They're not cancerous yet, but give them time. Now, here's a good prevention plan. Our goal is inflammation-free intestines full of healthy microflora. That means a good bacteria. We need good bacteria in the intestinal tract. We need a really healthy diet, real food, not bagged food, packaged foods, box foods, canned foods. We need real food, not ultra-processed. And microflora, the natural probiotics that should be replenished in the intestinal tract on a daily basis, at least 20 billion daily. And we need them from three very strong human strains of bacteria. Lactobacillus plantarum, Lactobacillus rhamnosus, and Bifidobacterium bifidum. These three are the most powerful, natural three probiotics that are healthy for our intestines. And we should have at least 20 billion. Now, these are natural anti-inflammatories, along with planting all these bacteria in the intestinal tract. Now, we could also use anti-inflammatories naturally, obtained natural anti-inflammatories, like curcumin and boswellia. Both have many clinical studies on their ability to reduce inflammation, stop cancer, and treat inflammatory gut diseases like IBS and Crohn's disease. Now, the one I like is 750 milligrams of curcumin complex, standardized to 500 milligrams of curcuminoids, and then blended with turmeric essential oils, which increases the absorption of curcumin by at least seven times stronger. And then 500 milligrams of boswellia extract with at least 10% AKBA, the key compound in boswellia. So this is the prevention plan. Make sure that you seed your intestinal tract with healthy bacteria, the probiotics, the Lactobacillus plantarum, Lactobacillus rhamnosus, and the Bifidobacterium bifidum. These are three natural probiotics. They are healthy for a period of 2 years, shelf life. They do not need to be refrigerated. So it's nice to carry when you travel. Nice to know that you don't have to have refrigeration. They'll be healthy for a long time, up to 2 years. There's no dairy in the products. They're dairy-free. So you don't have to worry about if you have an allergy of dairy. Very healthy for you. Now, are you doing any strength training? You may want to. Cardiovascular exercises like running, treadmills, bike, swimming, they're good, but they're not as good as strength training, resistant training. Why? Because it keeps your muscles younger. Strength training versus endurance training for building muscle fiber. You know, as we age, our muscle mass decreases approximately 3 to 8% per decade. Every 10 years, we are losing 3 to 8% of our muscles, just doing nothing. It's just going to automatically occur, where we'll get weaker, our muscles will deteriorate, we'll lose our tone, and that's why some people look terrible when they get into their 80s and 90s, because they have lost all their muscle tone. So we lose 3 to 8% per decade, every 10 years, starting around the age of 30. And this rate of decline will even be higher after the age of 60. Hang on, my friends. I've got to pause here for a moment. But when I come back, I'm going to tell you what the researchers are finding today. Our researchers compared muscle fiber in fit athletes. We'll talk about this, just how to strengthen your body. So don't go away. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be back right after this short pause. We'll be back here until the top of the hour. Lots more information coming your way. A lot of good things. Welcome back, my friends. This is Terry Naturally with our second portion of the program on Terry Talks Nutrition. We talk about our brain health. We're talking about resistance, strength training versus endurance training. Which is better? Well, we found that through researchers that compared muscle fibers in fit athletes over the age of 70 to muscle fibers in young active athletes under the age of 30. Now, strength training, that doesn't mean you're going to be lifting deadlifts, bench presses, powerlifting. It's going to mean that you're going to be training your body to be stronger. And you can only use the weight that is comfortable for you. If it's 5 pounds, it's more than you would have if you didn't do anything, or 10 pounds or 15 pounds. Don't worry about the amount of weight you use. But if you use 8 to 12 reps, with each set, 8 to 12 reps. Now, strength training, not endurance training, keeps your muscles young and strong. You want to get off the toilet by yourself. You don't want somebody in there pulling you off the toilet. You don't want somebody to take you out of bed. You don't want somebody to take you off a chair. You want to be strong the rest of your life, for your entire life. So muscle fiber of older strength-trained athletes was almost identical to young adults with barely any muscle loss. Older endurance athletes had 5 times more muscle loss and 10% less of type 2 muscle fibers, the type of muscle used for quick energy, like picking up a heavy box. You want to be strong. You want to be healthy. You want to be fit. And you want to be like that the rest of your life. And that's what strength training does versus endurance training. Endurance training is running or biking or swimming or rowing. They're all good, but you still have to use some strength training, resistance training, along with cardiovascular training. Keep your muscles strong, healthy, and fit. Now, what drug is the strongest drug in America? Selling, that is. Not healthy. What is the number one drug in America that is the most often, frequently prescribed? Just one. And it's still at the top of prescription drugs. For almost a decade, statin drugs have been the most commonly prescribed drug in the U.S. For almost a decade, 10 years. Statin drugs have been the most commonly prescribed drugs in the U.S. About 100 million prescriptions are written for it every year. And the best estimates of sales dollars for this drug are somewhere between $1 billion a year, just in the U.S. $1 billion just in the U.S. And it doesn't work. And there are too many side effects. And they keep lowering what they consider to be the healthiest level of cholesterol. At one time, it was 300. So they had a large population of people to prescribe the drug to. Then they lowered it to 250 or 240. And they said, now we have more people to prescribe the drug to. Whoa, watch the till run up. Now they have it down to 200. And I just saw a report they want it down to 193. The lower the cholesterol level is, the more side effects, the more heart attacks, the more strokes, the more heart disease. And they said, after statin drugs came out, oh, you don't need to, we don't need to have more heart surgeons. We have the cure for heart disease and heart attacks. It's the prescription drugs for lowering cholesterol. Heart disease will be unknown. Well, here we are with even a higher level of heart disease because they're doing nothing for it. Because statin drugs do not cure anything. They lower cholesterol. But to be healthy, you need more cholesterol. And after the age of 60, there should be no requirement for any prescription drug for lowering cholesterol. And why are there side effects? Like muscle pain, digestive issues, fatigue, dizziness, sleep issues, sleep problems, memory problems, and an increased risk of diabetes. Standard use of statin drugs has been reported to increase the risk of type 2 diabetes by about 10%. And a newly published study reports that the higher the statin dose, the greater the risk. And for people with already elevated blood sugar levels, statin drugs used daily tipped them over to the line of diabetes. There are side effects and no real known value. The drug companies are laughing all the way to the bank. Next, they'll want it down to 150. And we need cholesterol. Every cell in our body requires cholesterol. The brain only weighs 2% of the body weight, but uses 25% of the cholesterol. All of our natural hormones, including vitamin D, are manufactured by cholesterol or out of cholesterol. We need it. We can't live without it. We would die without it. And they're trying to lower it because they have brainwashed everybody, including doctors, to prescribe statin drugs as a new way to eliminate cardiovascular disease. It never has happened, never will happen. Now, does that make you anxious? Well, so does sugar make you anxious. There's a great effect of sugar on the levels of anxiety. And it sure makes teens anxious. Researchers looked at the results of multiple studies analyzing sugar consumption and anxiety rates in teens. They found that teens with the highest consumption of sugar drinks were 34% more likely to experience anxiety versus kids who drank few or no sugar sweetened drinks. Might be hard to find anybody who doesn't drink sugar drinks in this crazy world. Teens may not realize how much sugar they are getting when they choose coffee drinks with syrup or like some of these coffee shops, 16 teaspoons of sugar in their drink. also in the sports and energy drinks. A standard Starbucks vanilla latte contains 35 grams of sugar. That's 8 teaspoons of sugar, which is 17% more than a candy bar. A 20-ounce can of Red Bull contains 63 grams of sugar, which is equal to more than 2 candy bars in one drink. And most times it's fructose. Fructose made from corn, the most deadly sugar possible. High fructose corn syrup. Bad sugar of all the sugars that you can possibly put into your body. Now here's one of the most common nutrient deficiencies. Here's something you really want to pay attention to. It has a huge effect on the health of your body, and it'll cost you pennies a day. So here you know, do you know that the most common nutrient deficiency in the United States? What do you think it is? Well, yes, yeah, some of you are right, and some of you are wrong. Vitamin D, like dog, vitamin D3. The second most common deficiency is iron, especially women. Around 66% of Americans have low or deficient levels of vitamin D3. D2 is only about half the value of D3. I don't know why, but so many doctors prescribe D2. Why? I have no idea. Only because that's all what drugstores carry. They don't want to carry the natural form of vitamin D, and that's D3. Vitamin D is required to build bones and muscles and to help calcium absorption and to aid in regulating blood pressure. Vitamin D3 also helps strengthen skin cells and reduces inflammation, helps to treat inflammatory skin conditions, including eczema or eczema, acne, and psoriasis. And it stimulates hair follicles to grow for thick hair. Low levels of vitamin D3 have also been linked to alopecia, an autoimmune disease which causes extreme hair loss. Prevents dementia. Older adults who took a vitamin D3 supplement were 40% less likely to develop Alzheimer's disease. Vitamin D should be taken by everybody. We just don't get enough in our diet. Yes, our body will make some, but we have to have adequate levels of cholesterol, and we have to have sunshine, and we have to be halfway naked so the sun can shine on our skin, because the cholesterol that's underneath the skin is radiated by the sun, transferred into a natural source of vitamin D. So we don't have enough sources of vitamin D3. I think everybody should supplement with vitamin D. We don't need everything, but this one I would absolutely say. Vitamin D is one of the most important. Now I'll give you some signs why you might want to think about or view on your own that will tell you if you're low on vitamin D3. Signs of low or deficient vitamin D3 are not always obvious. But here are some signs that may include Are you sometimes confused easily? Do you experience brain fog? Do you have weak, sore, painful muscles, especially in kids? Do you have fatigue and tiredness, exhaustion? Do you have bone and joint pain, bone loss, or misshapen bones in cases of severe deficiency? But you can have your doctor do a blood test to see what your level of vitamin D is. And I would highly recommend it. I know many people buy 5,000 units of vitamin D. But is that enough? If you don't take enough, it's not going to do the job. So you want to know what your level is. And the only best way to find out your level is to talk to your doctor to do a blood test to indicate what your vitamin D3 level is. And you might want to boost it up. Talk to your doctor. Check with your doctor. Now, how much and what kind should you use? Well, as I mentioned throughout the discussion, D3. That's the human form of vitamin D3. D2 is a plant form. Sounds great that it comes from plants, but it's D2. And it's not absorbed very easily. Only about half is absorbed. So researchers compared supplemental vitamin D3 and D2, 600 IUs or a placebo in 335 women during two consecutive winters. The results, the placebo group saw a 25% decline. That means less vitamin D levels. Vitamin 2, D2, the group had a 34% increase in vitamin D2. But vitamin D3 group had a 75% increase in vitamin D. Vitamin D3 was twice as effective at increasing vitamin D levels. Experts recommend at least 5,000 IUs of vitamin D daily for most people. After your test, you might find you need 10,000 or 15,000. I don't know, but only your test will show what you may need. This is really important that you get the right level of vitamin D. That vitamin D3 is so much more effective than D2. But all the drugstore vitamin Ds I've seen are D2. Why? Maybe they're cheaper. I don't know why they do it. But you want the human source of vitamin D3, not D2. And you might want to get at least 5,000, not 600 or 1,000 or 2,000, 5,000 minimum. But you should check your levels. In fact, you should take 5,000 IUs of vitamin D for maybe 2 months. And then go to your doctor for a vitamin D level check. And you may not have any. It's possible. I've seen it happen. Because 5,000 was not enough. So you don't want to under the level of natural vitamin D. You want to get to the level that you are most sufficient with. And this is always a reminder. Should you order your vitamins online? Well, on eBay, don't. There are so many counterfeit products sold on eBay. Don't take a chance. Buying something to put in your body even on your skin, because eventually it will get into your body. Don't buy it on eBay. eBay is a bad site for natural products. They're spiked, they're adulterated, they haven't been tested. And even on Amazon, maybe it could be bad. Amazon is full of poor quality products because they're sold by companies that are here today, gone tomorrow. People are looking for ways to make money by companies that are rock bottom low prices. If you must buy on Amazon, why would you want to? Why? Go to your health food store. They carry the best products for you. They know the products inside and out. They're products that they use themselves. And choose really good brands, quality brands, trusted brands. And look at the reviews. And trust the brands you already know. And verify in the sold by. Look at the expiry date in the ordering information that you are purchasing from the brand or the authorized reseller. If you don't recognize the seller name, shop elsewhere. You want to know that you have a reputable seller for the brand. Direct from the brand or health food store. Best choice. Many local stores offer buy online, pick up in the store. Save the shipping fee. Make a quick trip to your local store. You can be sure you are buying an authentic product from a reputable source. There are so many people just trying to make a buck, selling counterfeit products. Yes, counterfeit. They're taking real quality products. They're copying the labels, copying the box, if it's in a box. They're copying all the packaging on a product. And when you open up the product, it's not the same color, it's not the same capsule, it's not, everything is different. And you don't know what it's spiked with. It could be spiked with drugs. A lot of these companies that are selling online counterfeit products are coming out of Pakistan, China, some of the Asian countries. People are looking for ways to increase their income. So they're making up products. And sometimes you can even see they misspell the English words or they misuse the English words. You have to check these labels really, really carefully. But go to your health food store. They know their products that they carry. They know the manufacturers. They know the sales preps. They know the questions they should ask before they carry the product. And they're, in most cases, using the same products themselves. They're not going to use those products themselves if it's adulterated or spiked or a counterfeit product. So they're in direct contact with the seller, the manufacturing company that has a trusted, a good reputation, and uses the products that they themselves would want to use. So be careful when you buy online. It doesn't make any sense. You think you're saving some money, but if you're putting that product in your body, why would you want to save money? I mean, of course, if you had the same product at a lesser price, yes, of course. If they gave you 20% off or whatever, yes, yes, yes. Don't miss my representation of saving money. I want you to save money, but I want you to save it on an exact, healthy, not counterfeit, not spiked, not adulterated, not drug product, but a healthy product that is good for you. If you've got a discount, somehow you've earned a discount, then take it. But be careful if you see a product that is majorly discounted. It could be adulterated because a lot of these people that are just trying to make money don't care how much they make on each sale. They're just supplementing their income. Be careful. So with that, my friends, I'm all out of time. Time to think about next week. I'll be back here. Same time, same station. On the next weekend, I'll be back here to give you more information as to how you can make yourself healthy. Because, you know, you and I are the only ones responsible for our health. The doctor doesn't know anything about health. The drug companies don't want you to be healthy. They make money on sick people. They want you sick. They'll find any way they possibly can to make you sick. And then they lower the amount of time or dosages, or they're just trying to make more money. When they're making billions and billions of dollars annually, just one drug, they're making $1 billion a year. So be careful of what you put into your body. But then, my friends, say a prayer for this crazy, crazy world. And God bless you, my friends. God bless this great country.